Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a joy to talk to our dear friend Bruce Levine. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires? Yes, get them now at Aturo.com. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Welcome back, Mully.
Thank you, buddy.
We missed you over the weekend. We missed you Friday. I was hope you had a great holiday over the weekend. But where do you want to begin today? Cubs, Sox?
I think we got to begin with the Cubs because they've already lost 9 games this month, which is equal to the last 2 months, and obviously ended up having really good months. But this one looks like it's going to be more difficult. Obviously, you just lose a series to a team in the Mariners. They come in, they were hovering around 500. Now they're 2 games over. It's just the kind of team that you need to beat, because now you go on the road starting tonight. You got a 4-game set in St. Louis. You go to Houston. It could be a difficult week. And by the way, the Brewers are 3 in the hook behind you. They're not going anywhere. They're sticking around, and you kind of felt like the Cubs had more breathing room.
Well, here's the good news. The Cubs are 22-6 this year against sub 500 teams. Well, they're not going to be playing those for a while. Mm-hmm. They're 24-25. Against 500 plus teams. So if you want to break it down this season and their struggles, right now they're not playing that well against the better teams. So you're going into St. Louis, like you said, a pretty hot team that's only 3.5, as you said, behind. You have Houston, who's playing the best in the American League West. So you're going to have your A game. Your pitchers are going to have to start coming around. The bottom of your batting order is going to have to start hitting. That's the one thing that's really been missing here over the last 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a little bit more, the fact that the bottom of the order for the Cubs was equal to the top of the order as far as production. When PCA was hitting 7th and you had Kelly doing his thing along with Amaya down there, that was a big part of the offense. You're not getting that right now.
Bruce, what is the status of Matthew Boyd, and how will that factor into the decision of how to replace Shota Imanaga in the rotation?
Yeah, he was doing really well yesterday. So no more protection on that area. They're still working on it, but he might get backed up, okay? So he's not going on the IL, but he might get backed up with Imanaga coming back. And Council did admit to the fact that they might go to a 6-man rotation one time through to accommodate Imanaga. It depends on how Boyd bounces back and where they figure he comes in. If he has to miss some time, maybe he starts in Houston on Friday after the 4-game series with St. Louis. So a lot of moving parts with Imanaga coming back, and no guaranteed day when Imanaga is going to pitch from Council yet. They're going to talk to him, try to pin him down all weekend. He said, yeah, he's back with us. We'll see him in St. Louis, and he wouldn't say the date that he's going to pitch.
Yeah, that's interesting. It'll be Wednesday or Thursday, though, right? I mean, we are anticipating. He may not be returning to the rotation yet?
No, I mean, they're going to look at him. I mean, do we know? He pitched on Friday, so, you know, the consensus is what you just said. That makes the most sense. Wednesday or Thursday, plenty of rest. Friday would be an entire week, you know, off. I don't know if that makes any sense. He's going to throw on the side. They're going to see him for the first time for a little while since he's been rehabbing. So they want to get a handle on it. That is, you know, one of the situations here. It's the good news because he pitched really well on Friday, came out of it, got enough pitches. So he's good to go in the major leagues. The other complications are who comes out of that rotation after that one time through? Is it Ben Brown? Do you go with Ray going back to the bullpen? Which bullpen guy goes to the minor leagues or is released? They don't have options on almost the entire bullpen. So you have a situation there where, you know, what do you do? It's a good problem to have that you have too many pitchers, but it's a little convoluted right now.
So, Bruce, we had a good conversation Saturday morning with Sammy Sosa and inside the clubhouse. You were there all weekend and saw the way the crowd reacted, the way Sammy navigated through Wrigley Field for the first time in 21 years. A lot of mixed feelings, too. We know that those exist because we heard from some of those people on Saturday as well as we have this morning. How would you sum up the weekend of Sammy's return?
Well, in Sammy's mind, it's hopefully the beginning of being accepted back not only by Cub fans, the Ricketts family, Chicago, but all of baseball. You know, the comment that he made to your question on our show about him and Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds getting another look after the Pete Rose situation and the taking away the suspension from Major League Baseball and Pete Rose opening up the possibility of him going into the Hall of Fame. That was eye-opening. It really was. And Mike, what do you think? I mean, we had our opinion on Saturday. Do you think baseball and baseball writers and the Hall of Fame take a different look at those players as well? Is there a softening for them as well?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier, Bruce. I personally think it's a totally separate. You know, there's a huge difference between the thing that happened with Pete Rose, the gambling, and the way that he refused to acknowledge it and all of that versus steroids and the era. And, at some point, I believe they will come up with some way of dealing with the steroid guys and of that era. But I have not – I think the relying on the writers to just sort of be the guards, the guardians at the gate of the Hall of Fame, which I think is unfair. And I wish Major League Baseball would determine something. And I like the idea of having a steroid wing or some sort of way of acknowledging it without acknowledging, but you got to be completely forthright. I also think baseball is as responsible as anybody else for letting that happen and go on, et cetera, not sniffing it out earlier. But I do think it's a problem. And I'm not a Sammy guy personally. And when I saw it, it's like, I'm not sure what's changed. I'm not sure if he's taken any responsibility or any of the things that were kind of laid out that he needed to do to be welcome back to have actually happened. Other than the passage of time, I'm not sure what has occurred, but I don't know, Bruce. I just wonder if, clearly Sammy now knows that if you just wait it out, it will all will be forgiven. So I think that will be his strategy now.
I think the interesting thing is that Sammy attached himself to Rose along with the other supposed, and that in that in itself is, hey, we have a problem here with the steroids era. We were great players. We're not being recognized. We were the best players in the steroids era, but we were far from the only ones that did it, right? So the recognition for the guys that are already in the Hall of Fame that did steroids as well, very cloudy. I mean, there's more than just suspicion. There's knowledge that, you know, they were just as dirty as some of the other guys that did steroids during that era. So if it was more clear cut, I would be with you. But acknowledging the greatest players in the game is part of what the Hall of Fame's about. So as you said, I think there has to be some way down the line that these players are acknowledged, whether they go in to the same wing or something else. I'm with you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
They're very different issues, Pete Rose and the steroid era guys, but I do think the only thing that connects them is that if there is a softening on behalf of Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred, then that is relevant. But I don't know that anybody can predict that, but I do think Sammy's answer was interesting. Bruce, let's switch to the White Sox because they had a big weekend. They did something they hadn't done since 2019 in Toronto. They won a series. They did something yesterday they hadn't done in 38 previous games. They came back after the seventh inning. What do you make of the White Sox weekend in Toronto?
Well, the pitching continues to be really good, okay? They have good pitching. And, you know, adding Hauser and Savali, that fortifies that for the young guys that they're going to start watching innings over the second half of the season and their ability. You know, they're going to want to make sure they don't get injured, but at the same time continue on their track to being good major league pitchers. So the one thing that they want to come out of this year with is good young pitching that's not injured, that continues on, and then to hopefully add with more money being spent on free agents, add a couple of really good hitters to their young hitters that are coming along. We've been able to see Teal and Quero and hopefully Montgomery at some point, and that is the track that they have to be on to add offense. You know, this is the third worst team in baseball in scoring runs, so they have to add to that. You can't depend on pitching to win every night. The good news is they played really well against 500-plus teams. They're 15-26 against teams that are under 500, 10-27 for the year. So no rhyme or reason to that other than they've upticked. They can be in games. We've watched over the first half here, now almost 80 games. The White Sox stay in a lot of games this year that they weren't in last year.
I'm curious, when you see the 10 rookies and the way that they have impacted the team, it seems very promising, but you also just have to wonder at what point, you know, Montgomery adds to the mix. Like, at what point do they say, you know, we can't keep lining up a guy like Vinny Capra, with no offense to Vinny Capra, that sounds
none
like,
taken.
Yeah, Vinny, you just don't belong in Major League Baseball.
No, none taken there.
No offense.
No offense.
But I mean, honestly, is he going to get Capra better? Is he going to exactly? It's not a Capra-esque story, is it? I am curious. They still have some guys that probably you could upgrade from. Are they going to do that, or are they more looking toward trying to build something for later on?
You know, the question that you asked me rather than answering it directly is, what do you want to see in the second half?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want better won and loss, or do you want a projection of younger players that you can look at in 2027 or 26 rather and say, you know, here is a base for our offense. Here's, you know, we have Teal, we have Quero, we have Montgomery. They're going to be starters for us going forward, not just in 25, but or 26, but beyond that. So those players are just not identifiable right now. The guys that are going to hit a lot of home runs, drive-in runs, not identifiable right now for the Chicago White Sox. You can't win in Major League Baseball without slug, okay? You just can't do it. And there's nothing points out that more other than the fact that the Cubs, when they're homering right now, that's the only way they're winning games over the last 3 weeks. You know, 67% of all their runs have come via the home run ball. So with that in mind, you look back at the White Sox and you go, who's going to hit a home run on this team? I mean, they have to get some slug. And if they're going to spend any money at all next year, it's going after a slugger or two to fortify what looks like good young pitching coming. Before you guys let me go,
okay,
the Cubs are looking at adding that pitcher that we've been talking about, and it appears they're getting closer to identifying some of these teams that are out of it that want to trade. So I wouldn't be shocked over the next week or 10 days, much before the trading deadline, maybe as early as this week, that they make a move for another starting pitcher.
This week, you think the Cubs could make a move?
They could. Yeah.
So, Bruce, absolutely. You come into this show, you come into the program, you ask us, what do you want to lead with? That's what we want to lead with.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's your show. It's not
but you're our guy.
Bruce, are we talking maybe a certain former Cy Young winner from Miami, or is it more likely to be Aaron Savaye?
More likely a guy that we can't all identify that's a good young veteran pitcher, and I'm working hard to try to identify that right now.
Bruce, great work. I think that's very interesting. Is this a little bit, we will let you go, but is this a little bit earlier than you anticipated?
No. They're going for it. They're proactive. I mean, the other part of that is, with all due respect to Matt Shaw and how he's playing third base.
Great point.
Do you add a right-handed hitting third baseman?
Got to consider it.
And is that a bigger part of a trade? So those are the things we should keep our eye on.
Great stuff, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys.
You had a good weekend.
Day.
That is Bruce breaking news here.
Yeah, really interesting. He's been working hard. He's mining some sources. He knows everybody. And if that's something they're getting close to, they still may not execute it. It's fun to consider, though.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.